This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
The building of the Mishkan takes on many parshiyos and shmos. Truma, Tetzave, Asisa, Pikudei, Vayakel. So many parshiyos about Binyan HaMishkan. Actually, it needs to be broken up into two parts. Truma Tetzave is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us Be'asid, in the future, to build, and how to build it. And Vayakel Pekudei is the Behoiva and the Be'avar, which means how they exactly did build it, and that they did build it. So even though it's technically one sugya, it's one parsha, so to speak, of Binyan HaMishkan, but we could say it's four different chapters, four different chalakim in Binyan HaMishkan. Two, where the Rabbeinu Shlalem is telling us how to build in the future, Ba'asid. One, in how they did it, Behove, what they did do, that's Parshas Vayakel. And in Pekudei also we have the Avar that they did, that they built. So we have actually four descriptions of Binyan HaMishkan. The Tzivri for the Asid, the Hoiv of what they did, and the Avar after they did it. The question, of course, is the redundancy and the repetition. What's it for? You could have put together the entire three, four parshias into three or four paragraphs, or maybe one parsha. Build the Mishkan so-and-so. And Vayasu b'nei Yisrael, kasher tziva Hashem, and finish that they did it. Why repeat over and over how to do it? And then again repeat over and over that they did it. And repeat over that in the past it was done. And each keli and each part that they did it, that they accomplished. Just say, simply, do, okay. And then discuss at the end, Vayasu, they did, Kasha Tziva Hashem. This question, the Brisker Rav discusses in his Ksavim al Chumash, in the stencils al Atayra. Matmiya, Tamua, he says, it's a wonder. Yeah, well, how could you repeat the same thing over again and over again and over again? We understand. And to say they did it could have been accomplished with one pasuk, Vayasu Kasha Tziva Hashem. Says the Brisker Rav, a teretz, a pshat, a hezber, explaining what is Parshas Vayakel. Why do we need a detailed description of what they did do? Says Brisker Rav, it's necessary because the Gemara in Bechoris, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, has a discussion, if efshel l'tzamtzem, which means, is it capable for a human being to be exact? You're told to do four tvachim. Could you do exactly four tvachim? Is it efshel l'tzamtzem? When you're given instructions on building, could you do something exact, tzimtzum? So the Gemara first wants to say, you see from the Mishkan that they were given measurements and they did it. The Torah says it was done. So you see, that a person who follows instructions could be mitzamtzim, he could do exact. Says the Gemara, no, it's efshel l'tzamtzim. Actually, you can't be exact. I, the Mishkan, and a Hanami, they didn't do it exact. They did to the best of their ability. They tried, says the Gemara, to be as exact as possible. So Gemara Bechayrus, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Efshel L'tzamtzem, and therefore, they did, but not. It can't be that they did it exactly 100%. Because you cannot be mitzamtzem. You cannot be exact. There's no such thing. Says the Brisker Rav, L'maisa, the pasuk seems to say that they did what Hashem told them to do, and the teretz is, yes, they did what Hashem told them to do to the best of their ability. Does that mean that actually it was exactly what Hashem said? No, you can't be exact. Now, if you look at the psukim are mechiach this. This is a pshat that, according to the Brisker Rav, maybe if you read his words, possibly this is even what he means. The psukim themselves connotate this yesod, this concept. Take a look at Perik Lamites, Pasuk Mem Beis. The Pasuk says as follows. K'chayil asher tzivu Hashem es Moshe. Kain osu b'nei Yisrael es kol avoido. Vayar Moshe es kol amalacha v'hini osu oisa kasher tzivu Hashem. Kain osu. So the question is, why do you have to keep on saying kain osu? It says they did kasher tzivu Hashem. And later on, when it says Vihine Osu Oisa Kashativa Hashem, that's it. Why repeat and emphasize Kain Osu? Says Briskarov Khaira, I think this is what he's referring to, and he ends off his piece of Chiddush, and he says, Kain Osu means this is what they did, Kashativa Hashem, but not more. They did what Hashem asked from them. And that's considered already osu. That's considered kain, like this, they did it. Was it exact? No. In English we call it, was it picture perfect? No. But it was kain osu, the way Hashem told them. That's considered osu. That's in nichlal, that's included in doing. Did you do what I told? Yeah, I did. To the best of my ability. To the best of my ability. Can I be exact? No. So that's called awesome. The truth is, that's the way it's brought down in the Sefer of the Brisker Rav on Chumash, which was written by the Talmidim. But it seems to be that the Brisker Rav actually said it a little different. Many Talmidim, when they say over this piece of Torah from the Brisker Rav, the children in the Shiurim of Chumash, they have a different nusach, a different girsa, so to speak, in the way the Brisker Rav said it. And he says that the opposite, that the Torah is trying to teach us, kein asu, that they did do exactly the way that Hashem said. They did do Kain Asu. They did do exactly what Hashem said. But I it's Yefshel Tzamtzim. So he says that if there's a different gears in the Gemara, if you look at the Brisker Rav and the Chayris, he brings from the Shita Mekubetzes that has a gears in the Gemara, you can't be Mitzamtzim? Yes, you could by the Mishkan. You know why? Because by the Mishkan it said, Hakel Biksav Kemoisha Kasuv. That everything was written in the Torah exactly how it's supposed to be. And so if they did what it says in the Torah, says the Brisker Rav, there was a siyata d'shmaya. There was help from Shamayim, which the Brisker Rav calls Ruach HaKodesh. There was a Ruach HaKodesh which set in on the hands, so to speak, of those that were building, that they should taka do exact. So then the Kain Asu is beautiful the other way. What the Torah is saying is they did Kashativa Hashem, and because of that, Kain Asu. Therefore, they did it exactly. The Torah is emphasizing it wasn't just they did what Hashem wanted. Kain Asu. It's exactly what they did, because it came out exactly the way Hashem wanted it. These are two different pshatim. And two different, we would call, mahalchim, on how to understand how was the Mishkan built. And, of course, an explanation of the words in the Pasuk, Kain Asu. One pshat, that it's Eif Shalut Tzamtzim. You can't be exact, but they did what Hashem wanted. That's enough. That's kein osu. That's already considered done. A second pshat? No. Because they did what Hashem wanted, so Hashem came to help them. That it should taka be exact, even though a human being can be exact. And if you take a look at Bechairis, the Brisker Rav in his Shiurim on Bechairis, on that Gemara, he brings the Shita Mekubetzis that says that we have to add to the Gemara. That the Gemara is saying that even though normally a person can't be exact, but by the Mishkan, Hashem helped them. Hakel, Biksav, Kimoisha, Kasuv, it was like a Nevuah. It was a Ruach HaKoidish that set in onto the workers that they should be able to be exact. You know, Rabbi, if you look at the Targum Yonison, on the words of the Pasuk, if you look at Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chafalif, it says, who did the work? Kol Asher Nesoy Liboy, V'nodva Ruchoy. What does Nesoy Liboy mean? Nesoy Liboy means he was elevated, inspired, Nesoy Liboy to do. What does Nodva Ruchoy mean? Nedava. That he promised to do, it's a Nedava, present. What are the two Lashoinis? Why does it mean Nesoy Liboy? Why do we split it, Nesoy Liboy and Nodva Ruchoy? So the Brisker Rav explains, very simple. The work was done, that's Nesoy Liboy. Those that were inspired to do. And the money that was given, that's a nedava, donation. That's Nodva Ruchay. There's Nesoy Liboy for the work. Nodva Ruchay for the money, the donation. But if you look at the Tag of Yainasin, he explains, Nesoy Liboy, Nodva Ruchay both go on the work. So what's the difference? Nesoy Liboy means your heart inspired. Nodva Ruchay is Ruchay the Nevuasa. That's what the Targum Yonison is. Dashlimus, that they completed with the Ruach of Nevuah. The way the Brisker Rav brings from the Shita Mekubetzes and Bechairis, and the way he explains that Gemara, it's beautiful. You see clearly that because they were not Veruchoi, because in their heart they wanted to do exactly what Hashem wanted, so it became complete with Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Masher His Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested His Shechina on their work, that it should taka be complete. So here we have two beautiful, different understandings of how the Mishkan was built. Was it built by human hand, or was it built by heavenly intervention? Human hand, was it Maisi de Adam? Was it man's crafts work? Or was it heavenly intervention that it's taka the work of the Rabbeinu Shalom? This is the Kein Asu. The Kein Asu, the repetition in the Pasuk. So there's one pshat, L'chayra of the Brisker Rav and the Chumash seems to say that they did it. Could a person be perfect? No, but that was considered enough. Man can't be perfect, but that's called perfect because you did the best you could do. And that's all the Rabbi Yisrael is asking of you. Got to do your best. That's all the Rabbi Yisrael asks of a person. Got to take a try to do the best. But once you've done the best, it's perfect. That's it. That's good enough. And the other pshat is, it really was perfect. Because when a person tries his best, especially in Melechus HaMishkan, the Rabbi Shalom intervenes. The Rabbi Shalom is there to make sure, to complete it, that it should be mitzumtzum. And that's what the Targum L'Chayra means, the Ashlimus. It became complete. Beruach Nevuasa, which I think is what the Brisker Rav is saying in Bechairis, that it became bestowed on their action, on their doing, on their malacha, on their craftsmanship, a Ruach HaKoidish. which assisted them, which helped them to do a complete job exactly, but Tzimtzum the way the Rebbeinu Shalom asked. So I have a question. If the Torah is trying to just say this point, that let's take the pshat of the Brisker of the Chumash, that they couldn't have been exact, but they tried their best, and therefore that's called good and perfect and done. So you still don't have to repeat it over 100 times for that. What are you trying to say, Briskerov? The Briskerov is teaching me that Parshas Vayakel is to teach us this Yesod, that even though you can't be exact, but the Klal Yisrael, they built the Meshulchan and the Menorah, they did it to the best of their ability, and that's called doing. That's called Kein Asu. So why do you have to repeat every part of the Mishkan? Just say that they built the Mishkan, Kasher Tziva Hashem, Kein Asu. Why do you need to go through again in a detail every part of the Mishkan? Just say in general, the Mishkan was built, Kasher Tziva Hashem, Kein Asu. And if you're trying to teach me that they did to the best that they could do, so write just as a sweeping rule, a general rule, Kasher Tziva Hashem, Kein Asu. So I was thinking to myself, a mashal to understand this. You know, sometimes you have a boy in yeshiva, and he takes a test. He put a lot of effort into it, tried his best. So the Rebbe wants to give him a good mark because he tried his best. So you know what the Rebbe's going to do? He's not going to mark every single question, because on every single question there was a lot of problems. What he does is he gives an overall. The sum total, he gives, you got an 80. Bacher comes to the Rebbe. Rebbe, could you show me which one that I get right and wrong? Here, I should be getting 2 points here. I should be getting 4 points there. So the Rebbe says, if you want to sum total it, it's going to be a lot less. What I do is I give it an overall mark, and I include in it effort and everything, and I give you the sum like on the report card. And the sum total is, Baruch Hashem, very good, 80, 85. But if I have to start detailing question A, B, C, D, E, and start every 2 points here, 2 points there, it's not going to loop so 80-ish. Therefore, what happens? He gives back the mark as a general mark. You look at it, you realize that on the detail, Hitaka didn't get such a good mark. So what does the Rebbeinu Shalom do? The Rebbeinu Shalom says, I don't want you to think that for the sum total, it's Kein Asu, that you did good, and that it was exactly what I wanted. No. On each keli, on each part of the Mishkan, the Shulchan and the Menorah, step by step, it's Chashuv. Each one, to me, is Kein Asu. It's not a Kein Asu in general, because you tried your best. It's Kein Asu on the Prat, on each individual thing, because Yitaka got a good mark, 100 on every part, on every question, because you did your best. In order to bring out the Chashivus, of the Rebbeinu Shalom's accepting the Avodah, he breaks up each keli instead of giving him a sum total on the whole thing. That Kein Asu was accepted. It's more than that. It's each individual part here. Yeah, it was good. Here, A, question one was 100, and question two was 100, and question three was 100. To show me the Chashivus. And the point is, because you did your best. You did kashativa Hashem. You went into it to try to fulfill to the best of your capability. Hashem, that's called 100% credit on each keli.
Bital got 100?
The point is, he didn't get 100 on the sum total. He got 100 on each individual question, on each individual keli. Even though, Yefshel Tzamtzim. The flip side, if you say that it was Efshel Tzamtzim, I'm sorry, that it's only because, I'm saying Efshel Tzamtzim because of the Hashras Hashchina. So that's why the Torah repeats every Keli. Because the Torah is trying to teach me that every Keli Taka was perfect. It wasn't Kain Osu that they got it for the sum total. An accepting mark, so to speak. A sign of acceptance for the whole thing. No, each one was exactly the way Hashem said. Why? Because Hashem came b'ashras hashchina, and He bestowed an assistance in the building of the Mishkan. You know, Rabbi Yisai, I think this opens up to us to understand many difficulties in the parasha. And I want to begin with the continuation of that pasuk that we read, that it says that Moshe saw all the malacha, Vayar, pasuk mem gimel, Vayar Moshe's kol ha-malacha, v'hine osu oysa kashativ Hashem kein osu, v'yivorech oysa Moshe. Moshe gives them a bracha. What bracha does he give them? Amar lohem, says Rashi, that the Shechina should rest in your actions, the actions of your hand. These are one of the 11 mizmorim that Moshe Rabbeinu said, and this was the bracha. What does it mean, Yiratza Shetishra Shechina M'maisi Adecha? Rabbi Avram ben Arambam has a tremendous question. Why do they need a bracha? Isn't what that the deal that Hashem made with them? Hashem said, build me a Mishkan, and I'm going to rest among you. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'saycha. So why do we need a special bracha at the end? What are you bracha for? That was what the whole idea of making the Mishkan was, that I'll make the Mishkan and Hashem will rest among us. So, Moshe Rabbeinu sees the malacha v'yavarechoisam, that Hashem should rest. Why would he not rest among? Yeah, that was the whole point of making the Mishkan. This is a question Rabbi Avram ben Arambam asks. Yalkutru veini. Ask the question. It says a pshat. And Yalkut Reveni says that Shema Garmachet, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that maybe the chet, the sin that people do, will hinder HaKadosh Baruch Hu from being master himself in the Mikdash. They built it, true, and it's true that Hashem agreed and stipulated that he will rest in the Mishkan, but maybe Garmachet, that he won't rest. You find always Shema Yigra Machet, the things that were promised don't happen. And I was thinking to myself, what does the Yalkut Ruveni mean, Shema? Which Chet is he referring to? He doesn't mean Egel, they didn't do the Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know of any Chatoim that they did. And if they did the Egel, I could hear, you know, Egel stops Hashem from coming and resting among you. But there was no known Chet here that Klal Yisrael was doing, that Moshe has to pre-warn and say, you know, I'm giving you a bracha that the Shechina should be master himself. And if there was a chet, what does the bracha help? Let's say there was a chet. So, you know, you can't do chatoyim and get a bracha. I once remember, I told this to you, when I lived in Queens, I once went into a store where they were selling the newspapers for Shabbos, and they also were selling the lotteries. So I bought the Yated, you know. It was before the days of the Amudiyah. I bought the Yated. For my wife, Shabbos, she wants to read it. And I see a Yiddish mensch playing the lottery, ticket after ticket, numbers. 1, 2, 3, give me another ticket, another ticket, another ticket. So I look at him. He says, you know, I am playing the... I have the winning numbers. I have the winning numbers, he tells me. So I look at him, how do you have the winning numbers? So he says to me, he called him a kubel in Eretz Yisrael. And a kubel in Eretz Yisrael gave him the winning numbers. And these are guaranteed. He has full faith. I'm looking at him. He wasn't wearing a yarmulke. Beli kippah. See him playing, man. Yeah. So I asked him. I said, tell me something. How much did you pay for these numbers? So he says to me, he made a donation of $300-$400. I said, Eze hefsed chaval, $300-$400. What a waste of $400. I have the winning numbers. What are you talking about? And he was nervous. He was getting angry. I said, how do you expect to have the winning numbers? You're not even wearing a yarmulke. You expect to win the lottery with a zgula when you don't keep what it says in the Torah to wear a kippah. What are you talking about? The bracha can't help you if you have the chet. What chet could have you done already? You hear? That if Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu gives you a bracha, it's going to be good. You can't have a bracha to anecdote. Chet. Here, tell me bracha, shalo ye'onish b'hatayim. There's no such thing, Rabbi Isai. You hear? If you do chet, you get an einish. No tzaddik could have, by the goyim, they have this idea that you can go to the priest and he absolves you of all your chatoyim. He makes hocus pocus with his finger, with his water. Cookies over there, with his face, water. With his manischewitz wine, and he becomes ice aveira, no aveira. This doesn't work, Rabbi Isai. So how do you have that if you give a bracha, chatoyim go away? So I was thinking to myself, we obviously don't mean that he's b'chal Shabbos and he wants a bracha. That's not what it means. And we don't find that they did any averis, that Moshe Rabbeinu should be scared that the Shechina shouldn't want to rest among them. So I was thinking with a story that my Zayda told me. My Zayda, being from Slabotka, everything was Musar and Midas and Ashkafa. So he said over a story that the person who was in charge, the bacher who was in charge of bringing the porridge, the breakfast for the altar, he used to make him hot cereal, he had to go away. He had to go away for a few weeks. So they took another bacher and they put him in charge to make the hot cereal. The bacher went and he figured he's new on the job, you know, he'll make it a little bit more sweeter, put a little more sugar and a little more butter, you know. And he brought it to the altar. All of a sudden you hear screaming from the room, from the altar, from the mashgiach. Chazer, tarfus, treif. The bacham start running and they see that he's shaking, that there's chazer. And they're looking, where's the chazer? It's farina, it's oatmeal. We want chazer. What's he talking about? Where? What? Treif! So they went over to the bacha and they said, what did you do? What's in here already? He said, nothing. I took the regular cereal, I added maybe a drop more milk, a drop more sugar, a tiny drop more butter maybe. But the ingredients are the same. So So Yalta said, yeah, but you were trying to show that you did better than the other guy. That's chazatreif. That's tarfus. And that went into the cereal. He felt it in the cereal. Chazatreif. You didn't even mean so bad. He meant to say, I'm good. Yeah. Look at my, I did a better job than you. That's chazatreif. You know what I say? When you build a mishkan, that could happen also. One guy builds a little bit. You see, I'm a bigger, I'm better, sir. Whoa, you see what he does? That's called chet, that the hashros hashchina gets pushed away because of. Ein ani v'hu yechaylim lader. Gaiva. Bid me this. The Eibishter can't be there. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a bracha. Yiratzen. He didn't do any aveira. They didn't want mechal Shabbos. But he's giving them a bracha that you should be zoicha to taka not have bid me this. And you should taka have nikius. In Yiddish we call it reinkite. It should be clean. That the Rabbi Yishev should be able to talk and be mashru hishchina b'maisi yadeichem. Actions which are selfish. Actions, Yiddish sagt, was stinkt von Gaiva. Was stinkt von, which means it smells from Gaiva and it smells from Kina. Rabbi Yishev, Kina is very sensitive. Rabbi Yishev is a very sensitive smell. You can't take the smell of Kinnan, Taivan, Gaivan, Kai. She stays away. This is in light of what the Briskerov said, that there was a special Ashras Ashchina B'maise HaYadayim, that the Rebbeinu Shalom came into their hand, so to speak, to assist them in the work. Now we hear the Lashon of the Chazal that Rashi quotes. It doesn't say Yiratzah Shetishra Shechina B'Mishkan. The bracha wasn't that the Shechina should be Tishra B'Mishkan, but rather Shetishra Shechina B'Maisa Yedeichem. In your hands, the work that you do. And that pshat is like we spoke from the Briskerov, and therefore you were able to do it exactly. Kashetziva Hashem is Moshe. Kashetziva Hashem is Moshe. There's an interesting sipunah, Rabbi, in the beginning of Parashas Pekudei that explains that how was Bezalel able to do exactly what Hashem wanted? And the answer is because he became completely bottled. He was mevatel himself completely. He became subordinate completely to the Rabbeinu Shloim's will, to the point that therefore he was able to bring out the will of Hashem. When a person is not about himself, when a person is batel, a person subordinates himself to the will of Hashem, so that's what he does, and that's what he stands for. And that's what he's able to achieve, the Ratzon Hashem. So if the Ma'isi Adayim were such that were fit for Hashras Hashchina, the actions were done in a way which was pure. Me'eis Kolish Asher Yidvenu Liboy. It was pure. Then there was Hashras Hashchina in the Ma'isi Adayim, even in the actions of building of the Mishkan. And to the point that it was able to be exactly the way Hashem commanded, the way Hashem wanted. This is the Lashon, Yiratzai. Does it say Yiratzai Shetish Rishchin of a Mishkan?
No.
B'mais Yedechem, in the actions of your hand. Can you open the door a little bit? It's getting very hot. Or I think the heat is on. Maybe we can close it.
Shut the door.
If you notice, Rashi quotes a second part of the bracha. Not only did he say, But he also added the Vihinayam Hashem Elikeinu Aleinu. And the conclusion of that, of course, is we all know, but Rashi is not quoting. He says, V'chule, U'maisi Adeinu Koineneu, U'maisi Adeinu Koineneu. Before we do a mitzvah, we say this. We say this Vihinayam Hashem Elikeinu Aleinu. By Sfiras Oimer, for example, if you look at the Siddur, before we start the bracha of Sfiras Oimer, we use this lashon, V'inayam Hashem Elikeinu Aleinu. Why? And the answer is very simple. The way we explain the bracha, that it's difficult to be mekayim tzivui Hashem, exactly what Hashem wants. Man is just a human being. He's not capable of doing exactly what Hashem wants. He needs siyata d'shmaya. He needs Hashem's help. And how does that happen? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Yiratzah shetishru shechina b'mayis yadeichem. So v'hinayam Hashem aleinu u'mayis yadeinu koinenehu. What is koinenehu? V'lashon mechuvan. That it should be exact, directed. We need direction when we do a mitzvah, because a mitzvah is very deep. It's very endlessly deep. You know, we say L'shem Yichud Kutcha Brichu Shchinta B'dechila Rechim El Yached, right? So there's a whole question to say it. Sfardim say it. Ashkenazim, some are afraid to say it because the Shagasai said you're not allowed to say it. But what does it say there? If you listen to the words, that we should be zoicha to be mekayim the mitzvah. Bechol proteha v'digdu keha v'tayag mitzvahs hatenu hatluyin ba, which means every mitzvah has worlds and worlds and worlds, pratim and digdukim, v'tayag mitzvahs hatluyin ba, which means it's the picture of a puzzle. Every mitzvah is actually a link to a bigger link, and that's Tayag Mitzvahs. So we ask Hashem that L'shem Yichud Kutcha Berichu, He should help us in that. That we should have the Siyata D'Shmaya, that even though we're just doing something very simple, we make a bracha, we say Sfiras Oimer, we make a bracha, we eat a matzah. The Rebbeinu Hashem should come and be mashlim. Rebbeinu Hashem should come like the Lashon Ashlimus Rucha B'Nevuasa. We ask that the Rebbeinu Hashem should assist us in our Maisa HaMitzvah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be there to assist us to perfect our Maisa HaMitzvah, that we should do it to the end result of perfection. To the end result of perfection. This Rabbi Isai is Vinayam Hashem Aleinu, the sweetness of Hashem. And why? Because the connection and that warmth and sweetness that we find in a mitzvah, when is it achieved? When we taka do the mitzvah b'shleimus. When the mitzvah is done b'shleimus, it's a noyam. You know, you do a mitzvah and you didn't do it full-heartedly, and you didn't do it completely, then the mitzvahs become an oil. The mitzvahs become a drag, as we say in English, lahavdil, those words, become a drag on a person. You know, when the mitzvahs are elevating, uplifting, Yiddishak mi gishmak, noyam is gishmak, sweet. And the answer is, when it's ma'isi adeinu koinenehu, when it's mechuvon, when it's exact, when it's complete. So who can help us in that? We're Yav Shulatzam saying, we can't do it. Who does it for us? V'inayam Hashem Aleinu. That the Rabbi Yishloilam is Masher Shechinasoi on our Ma'is Yadayim. And He assists us. And He assists us that it should come out in completion. This Rabbi Isai is the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu, he looks and he sees Kol HaMelacha Vayar Moshe's Kol HaMelacha. You know what Kol HaMelacha means? They put a lot of work. They put so much effort. Vihine also all you saw. What did they do? They knew they can't do it. Like, how much could a person do? But they did Kasha Tziva Hashem. Kainasu, that's what they did. They were just trying to say and do and act in accordance to what Hashem said. Meila, therefore, Vayivarach Oysa Moshe. Moshe comes and gives him the bracha that the Rabbi Hashem should be there for you, to assist you, to help you, to achieve the Kainasu. Because without Hashem, without the Rebbeinu Shloilam, man cannot achieve such great, difficult, and meticulous levels and pratim of a mitzvah. It's not possible. There's a Peldik in Medrash, Rabbi Yisrael. It says in Parshas Pekudei, it was the day Yoim Hakimes HaMishkan. It was the day that they Takim. First it says Takim Es HaMishkan Ayel Moed Perik Mem Pasik Beis. So who should do it? Moshe, you put it up. And then it says it was the day that it was Hukam HaMishkan Pasuk Yudzayim, Vayi B'Chodesh Arish B'Shan Hashem Echa Chodesh, Hu Kam HaMishkan. Takim is you should do it. Hu Kam means it should be. Hu Kam, it became. And then it says Vayakam Moshe HaMishkan. So which one is it? Did Moshe do it? Did it put itself up? The Lashon, it put itself up. So the Medrash Tanchuma says an unbelievable thing, that when Moshe Rabbeinu tried to put up the Mishkan, it didn't work. Couldn't get it up. He couldn't get the Mishkan up. He kept on trying, and then didn't go. So he turns to Rabbeinu Shloilam and he says, Rabbeinu Shloilam, what do I do? You told me to put up the Mishkan. So Rabbeinu Shloilam says, make with your hands gestures as if you're putting up the Mishkan, I'll put it up. I'll do it for you. But like this, they'll say you did it. They'll give you the name and credit, the recognition and credit that you did it. And that's the pshat. Stood up by itself, the Abish to put it up. But we gave credit to Moshe because Moshe made it look like he did it. That's what the Medrash Tanchuma says. The question is, why does it have to be that way? Why does it have to be that the Mishkan, in English we call it as a hoax? A hocus pocus. Moshe Rabbeinu, you play with your hands as if you did it. Yeah. And Lamaisa, I'll put it up. So I wanted to say one of two things. Two ideas that can explain why it has to be that the Mishkan is put up in an oifen, in a way that man plays with his hands. He does the hand game, hand motions, while it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who puts it up. I begin with a pshat I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Shustel Shlita. He explained the idea of Chanukah, the Ness of Chanukah, that we went and we lit the menorah, the Mesiras Nefesh. The Bach, the Rishonim tell us we put a lot of Mesiras Nefesh into relighting the menorah after the Melchama. The Rebbeinu Shlom went and he made a nest that it should go for 7 straight days. Eighth, right? The first day was maybe not a nest. Okay, let's see. For 8 straight days it burnt. If you don't mind, a little bit the door, Mama. I know you're a little bit cold. I'm still, what should I do? What's the point behind it? Chazal tell us, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, that theoretically, they could have lit the menorah, even B'Tumah. So why did Rabbi Yishon make a whole ness that it should be betuma? So if you look at the Pnei Yeshua, he talks about the chavivus. The idea of Chanuk is a mitzvah chaviva. Hashem wanted to show love. So my Rebbe explained all the concepts as the following. You know how you show love? You know how you show appreciation? When somebody gives you something that you actually don't need, how do you do it? For example, let's say, you know, I give this beautiful, I think it's a perfect example. You make a simcha. So some people give big gifts, yeah, and they bring beautiful platters of cake and beautiful platters of candy. Then you have a person that's very poor or simple. So he goes and he buys you a pen for $10, you know. And he sends in his wife's homemade cookies that look like it went through the churban, you know. Looks like there were, it's seen better days, those cookies, right? But he meant well, and the person tried his best. So how do you show that you appreciate? You got big gifts, you got beautiful. So what do? And this is something that everybody can relate to. You put out all the food on the table, including this little bowl of cookies, and you mix it in between the rest of the big presents. And then when the guy comes and goes, wow, you see, look, his wife made these cookies. Yeah? And the guy's watching and he goes, see? He put it out on the head table. He put it out together with all the other cakes. You see, it meant a lot to him, right? It was important to him. The real thing is, it wasn't.
You can feel better.
It's not such chashuv a cookie, you know. Had the guy not shown up to the simcha, you probably would have left it in the kitchen, not even brought it to the dining hall, right? But since the guy tried his best, and you want to show him you appreciate it, so you bring it out together with the rest of the cookies, so to speak. You put it out with the rest of the chashuv gifts. There you go. And this I got from so and so, and look how. Same thing, says my Rebbe Rav Shustel. He gave a different mashal, but I like to use this mashal in my Rebbe's words. That the Rabbi Shem said, look at the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. What is it already? So you did a Maisa mitzvah. It's so chashuv to me that I'm going to go and make it that it should last for 8 days and it should be Tumah Hutra, which means is... Geshe, Tom to make low. Which means that I'm going to take it and make it beautiful. I'll take your simple mitzvah and I'm going to show you how chashuv it is. How special it is to me, to the point that I'm going to make it bigger and better and I'm going to build it up. And I'll make a yontif out of it. Yeah, I'll make a yontif out of it, Chanukah, and it's going to last for 8 days, and it's going to be Tumah Hutra, it's going to be the symbol of the yontif. Lit Chanukah, that's what you lit. Okay, good. It's a mitzvah to light the menorah. It's a mitzvah. That's chavivus. So we could say the same thing here too. Moshe Rabbeinu made a mishkan together with Bezalel, together with Klal Yisrael. So the Rabbeinu Shloim is saying, you know how I'll show you how chashuv it is? I'm going to take it and make it perfect to the point that even human beings can't do such a thing. You'll see the hand of Hashem in everything that you do. You want to know how you build up the chavivus and chashivus of the Maisa Ha'odom? When the Rabbi Yishloim tells you, I was there to make sure that you, Taka, did a good job. Because it's that important to me what you did. You did the best of what you could do. And I'm going to come and what? And finish it off. To show you the chashivas and the chavivus that I have. So the Mishkan was, Taka, built in such a way that they had to do all the effort. And the Rebbe Yishlom is saying, and at the end, I'm going to put the finishing touches on it, so to speak. And that's going to show how important your actions are. Do I put the finishing touches on a guy who makes a car? No, I don't let him make the finishing touches. But in the Mishkan, it's important what you did to me. It means so much to me. I have such chavivas for it that I'm going to put the finishing touches. This Chabaisai is one pshat. I'd like to add another pshat. So this was one understanding based on a concept that I heard from my Rebbe in Hilchas Chanukah, why the Mishkan needed intervention every step of the way. That the Rabbi Yishon was showing, I'm there because it's important to me. You know, I'll tell you even like a little bit, maybe another example to give it to you if you don't understand. You know, when you build houses, cheap project, the guy who owns the houses doesn't really care about the details. Because it's not for him. He's not going to live there. So he tells the guy, you build it, I'll come at the end, I'll see what it is. And then as long as more or less it's good, right? But if let's say it's your house and it means a lot to you, so you there on every step of the building, you're there and you're together with the builder, do this and do that. So I feel that this could be another way of looking at it, that the Rebbe Yishum is showing chavivus to the actions of Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan. That he was Mashrish Chinasi in the Maisi dying to make sure that Itaka was a perfect job. See, Rabbi Yishai? That the perfection that the Rabbi Yishloilam helped and assisted in was a simon of Chavivus. Now I'm going to show you another angle of it. Can I give you another example? You know, when you have a child and it's his birthday, child is 3, 4, 5, especially if it's a girl. So what do? You bring her into the kitchen and you say, we're going to make a cake. A cake in honor of your birthday. Okay. So you have her standing there by the cake and she mixes a little bit. Yeah. And she breaks a few eggs, some of them on the floor, some of them on the counter. Yeah. A few full eggs fall into the pot, into the cake. And at the end, the cake is made. Tell me, who made the cake? Mother made the cake. But in order for the child to feel good on his birthday, that I made the cake. So the Rebbeinu Shloim wanted the same thing by the Mishkan. Yeah, I'm going to make the Mishkan. You guys can't do it. Trust me, you can't do it. Mishkan was something ruchnius. It was a spiritual building. You couldn't make it. The physical was it mirrored the ruchnius. So actually, it wasn't a blueprint which would make sense in the like the aron ain't a min amida. The aron didn't fit into the physical measurements. So what's the pshat? You need mais and nisim. But since the Rebbeinu Shem wants that you should feel good that you made it. Yeah, like a child, that you did it. That's the pshat. Moshe, you make with your hands, like a little child who makes the cake with his hands, you know. So he puts on the apron and thinks to himself, he made it. V'yikari al shmecho. That's what the Medrash Tanchuma means. It's going to be called on your name. Mishkan she'asa Moshe. I made it. It's the same thing like the birthday cake from the mother. The mother made the cake up. You stood there, you made with your hands a little bit, you mixed around the flour. Mishkan Shikari, it'll be called after your name. Abaisai, what am I trying to bring out over here? What am I trying to bring out? Isait. And that is that the Rebbeinu Shloilom wants that there should be a partnership between men and the Rebbeinu Shloilom in this world, that the man should do the best he could. The man should want to have a chelik, a part. But of course, a person can't do much. What can a person do already? He's just a human being. So the Rabbeinu Shalom comes and completes it in a way that he makes the person feel like he did it. And that's called Hashra'as HaShechina. I'll explain to you what I mean. What is Shechina? The Shechina is everywhere. So what does it mean that the Shechina was in the Mishkan? But the Shechina is everywhere. So simply we have to say that there's different levels. The Shechina everywhere. And in the Mishkan, the Shechina was even more. Levels. Or maybe we could say a little different. Shechina is everywhere. Some places it's more noticeable, and some places it's less noticeable. Shechina is everywhere. In the Mishkan, the Shechina was completely noticeable. And the way the Mishkan was built, it had to be built in a way that it was clear it wasn't you, it was the Eibishter who built it. Because that clarity, that it's not you, it's the Eibishter, you can't do it, only the Eibishter could do it, that is Shechina. That's called Hashra'as HaShechina. The Rabbeinu Shalom is anyway everywhere. So what is Hashra? Hashra means that there is a gilui, that it becomes clear, it's noticeable that the Shechina is there. In the Mishkan, at every step, at every turn, it was noticeable. Because you couldn't make the Mishkan. You needed in the Ma'isi Yadayim, Hashra'as HaShechina. You needed in the Hakamah that it should be put up, you couldn't do it. That itself means Hashra'as HaShechina. That's the definition of Hashra'as HaShechina. The Kotzker Rebbe Zecharino Levracha, Chus Yagna Leini, used to say, where is the Eibishter? And the answer is everywhere that we don't kick him out of. Wherever you don't, in Yiddish Zachman, Fatchaibin, wherever you don't push away the Eibishter, that's where he is. In the Mishkan, the idea was not only we didn't push him away, it was clear that we needed him. So the more clear it is, the more it's called Hashra'as HaShechina. But the Shechina is everywhere. And in life, it's the same thing. The lesson of the Mishkan is that anything you build, a home, a business, whenever you build them, Hashem lo yivne bayishav amlu boinov boy. If Hashem is not going to build it, it's not going to work. And if you build the business in such a way, if you build the business al derech zeh, on this way, that what? That it's only Hashem and I can't do it, then you have Hashra'as HaShechina b'mayis yadeichem in the business as well. It's all about how much is it clear, is it evident, is it understood, is it accepted, is it seen by you and by others, that this stands only because Hashem wants it to stand, this exists only because Hashem wants it to exist. That's called Hashra'as HaShechina b'mayis yadeichem. There's a very famous question. The menorah. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make the menorah, he didn't understand how to do it. Niskasha. He had difficulty. So he turns to the Rabbeinu Shalom and he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, I have difficulty making the menorah. So Chazal say the Rabbeinu Shalom showed him menorah shel eish, a fire. So I had a simple question, and I know that others have asked it. If anyway the Rabbeinu Shalom had to help him make all the kelim because they couldn't be done exact, so you needed Hashra'as HaShechina Hakol B'Ksav K'Moshe Kasuv. If anyway the Mishkan couldn't have been standing on its own and Hashem had to make him stand, so Menorah also Hashem is going to make the Menorah for him. Why was he more perturbed about the Menorah than anything else? Everything else can't be exact. So why is he having difficulty with the menorah more than anything else? So I want to say pshat as follows. Menorah resembles and symbolizes Torah. Now we know menorah is the semel of Torah. We know that Torah is different than other parts of Tariag mitzvahs, and that is that it needs a melus. Mitzvahs, No, you have to be kayim mitzvahs, you have to be medaktik be mitzvahs, but Torah needs amelus. Normally, what does amelus mean? I work so hard till I achieve. What is normally? When a person says, I want you to go into the business, I work so hard. What does so hard mean? Not for the sake of working hard, it's for the sake of achieving. That's why by the menorah he had a hard time. Based on by other mitzvahs, the mitzvahs to do. So, echad amarbe, echad amamit, levachi skavduli, I try my best. Kashatziva Hashem, kein asu. By a mitzvah, I did. It's called asiyas ha-mitzvah. I did it. The Gemara speaks about by matzah. If a person eats matzah, shaloi b'kavana. Yaitz. Why? Sakti Gemara m'psachim ha-kachal, l'maisi. What's the difference? What his kavana was? Sometimes l'achamaisi ate it. What's the difference? L'maisi ate it. But when it comes to Torah is amelus, which signifies that a person has to get it. He has to achieve. He has to work hard till he gets it. How could a person get the menorah? That's what he meant. How could you make a menorah? Who's going to make a menorah? So the Rabbi Hashem shows him Eish. Menorah Shalei. What is Eish? Eish is there Litzaref. Eish is there to melt. Eish is there to cleanse. Eish is Siruf. So the amelus of Torah is not to achieve, because even in Torah, Loyalecha Ligmar Amalacha of Yatav Ben Chayim Libatul Mimenu, even in Torah, Yogata, but is that how you achieve? No, Matzasa. The Rabbi Hashem gives it to you as a present. So what's the amelus? Amelus is to make yourself mukshar to be able to receive that matana. So in mitzvahs, it's shchina b'maisi yadeichem. The Rabbi Hashem helps you to mekayim the mitzvah. In Torah also, Rabbi Hashem helps you. So where did the amelus come in? Not to achieve, because that's the Eibishter. Yagata, like the Goyin says, umatzas, the Eibishter gets you as a present. So what's the yagata? Not to achieve, but rather to make yourself fit, to make yourself mukshar, to be able to matzasa, to be able to receive that present. This Rabbi Sai is the menorah shel eish, the menorah of fire. Fire connotates shvira, tziruf, purifying, cleansing, libun. Whenever you have chametz or kashrus, tarfus, how do you clean it out? Libun, fire. Menorah shalesh. But enachanami, who's going to build the menorah? Who's going to give you the shleimus, the perfect menorah? It's also from Shammai. It's also heavenly said. There's a mayudik arrived, Rabbi, sorry. And I know that the olam is starting to itch to leave, but I have very, very either good news or bad news, depending from where you're sitting. We're not even halfway through the shir. This is just the beginning. So you can either take it as good news or as bad news.
Want to talk faster?
There's a Ravid. The Ravid says, a chidush. The Rambam says that niktam roishoy is kosher. Which means if the head of the hadas gets chopped off, it's kosher. Says the Ravid, it's not true, it's possible.
Possible.
But he doesn't just say it's possible, and I have a Ravid from the Gemara. Ukvar hoifia ruach hakoidish beveis midrashenu. The Ruach HaKadosh came. Yeah, Ruach HaKadosh. And the Ruach HaKadosh told me that it's possible. And he proves it from the Gemara. And then he says, Umakayim himnichuli min ha-shamayim. They gave me a place from Shamayim that I should come up with this Chiddush. This is a personal Chelik, v'seichel keinu b'sayrasecha. Every person has his chelik, v'seichel keinu. This is my chelik, which means Rabbi Yishom gave me a place that I should come up with this chiddush. So I said, I don't understand something. First of all, Torah lav b'shamayim. Torah lav b'shamayim. How could you say Ruach HaKodesh? The Chidah learns that you know who this Ruach HaKodesh is? Eliyahu HaNavi. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches. The Gemara says, and Rashi brings it down, that if Eliyahu HaNavi came and told you Issa v'Heter, you can't be Samech Eliyahu HaNavi. Torah lav b'shamayim. Rabbi Chanan speaks about it in Kovetz Haaretz. Excuse me, Kovetz Yoram Chelik Beis. It's a big discussion. So the Chidah learns the Ruach HaKodesh means Eliyahu told him. I Torah Lab Shemayim. What does he mean? Makam Inichli. It's Mashma. It's him that he was Masik this Chelik Torah. And the Teretz Rabbi says this word. You hear that the Pshat Rabbi says Gevaldik. Yeah, Gevaldik, Gevaldik, Moiridik. Avada, he worked hard to get it. Makam inichuli. It was his chelik of Torah, his amelus. It was his toiling over Torah, the Ravid, that achieved this chiddush. What does the Ruach HaKodesh come? The Ruach HaKodesh is mechavein. It helps the person to be mitzamtzein, to make perfection, to reach perfection, to achieve what's not humanly possible. Avada Yo Yagiyah makes it that you got it. But how do you get it? I'll give you an example. A person goes, and he goes to the doctor to get a shot. Yeah? A flu shot. And the flu shot comes into his body and it fights the flu. So what are you going to say? You didn't get the flu shot. You didn't fight the flu. The flu shot fought the flu. Imagine a person say that. Yeah, I can hear already a real lamdim will say, but you didn't fight the flu. You got the shot and the shot fought the flu. Avada, the flu shot has koiches to fight the flu, but I got the shot. I went into the car. I traveled to the doctor. I sat in his office for 5 hours. I paid him more money than he deserved. I fought with the nurse, and then I came home, and my wife was angry at me that I spent the whole day away from the house. I did everything. So Avada, the flu shot, but I got the flu shot. Avada Yul Yagiyah got the Chiddush. How? By your Yagiyah, the Rabbi Yishom gives you the Ruach HaKodesh that should take it work. He gives you the Ruach HaKodesh, you should take it, see the truth. You should take it, be mechavin koinuna with the right derech to reach exactly what the Rabbi Yishom wants, the Kashativa Hashem in his Torah, exactly what he meant. Person has to want to know in Torah also exactly what Hashem wants. What did Hashem mean? What was the Kashativa Hashem in the Tosfos and in the Rashi? The Pasuk, the Gemara, the Sugya, there's a Kashativa Hashem. What does Hashem want in the Sugya? And when you work hard to reach that Kashativa Hashem, then there's a Ruach HaKodesh B'maisi Adeichem. Hakol b'ksav k'moy shekosov t'mechavin exactly to what the Eibishter wants. Let me tell you another piece to this sugi. You know, the Nesiim, they brought the Avnei Shayam. It says in Parshas Vayakil, but the Nesiim brought the Avnei Shayam. The Nesiim is spelled without a yud. Normally Nesiim is spelled Aleph Yud Mem at the end. It's missing a yud. Says Rashi, why is it missing a yud? It was a taina on the Nesiim. Because they said, let everybody bring. And we'll match, which means whatever is necessary at the end, we'll bring. Came at the end, there was nothing left to bring, except for the Avnei Shayam. So the fact that they brought the Avnei Shayam is a taina. It's a taina on them. Yeah. It was a complaint against them. Okay. Frek the brisker of a married gekasha. What's the complaint against them? Sounds like a very good cheshbon. For Karek, you never know. Maybe they would have to pay more than who knows how much everybody else. I mean, if a person says, you'll bring whatever's left over, we'll take care of. It's not a complaint. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to say a thing like that. So the Brisker Rav says a pshat. At the end of the day, it was a cheshbon. Cheshbonus. What do you make a cheshbonus for? The Irish says, give truma l'Hashem. Everybody come and give. Don't sit there and calculate, you know, let them bring first, we'll bring whatever's next. Bring, and that's all. You meant l'Shem Shemayim, so give twice. Give in the beginning, and then whatever's left over, you'll fill up. Why didn't you give? Don't make cheshbonus. If you look at Rashi, Rashi seems to say that the taina of them was nisatzlu. They were lazy. Right? You see the lush of the Rashi? Nisatzlu, they became lazy. First he says they made the cheshbon, and then he says nisatzlu. So I thought to myself, one or two pshatim. Either nisatzlu means in halach, for example, there's a very famous shayla, zriza magdimu lemitzvahs, and I do the mitzvah a little bit weaker, a little bit less, or later on, I do the mitzvah stronger and better. Let's say by bris milah, if I can make a bris milah later on, b'roivam, more people will show up. Should I make it zrizim akdimin in the morning, or should I make it b'roivam late? It's a famous shayla nachren, chacham tzvi, chacham soifer in the darim daf lamed beis. It's a very famous question. So could be here, this was the taina. They were being what? They could have done Zerisa Makdim Lemitzis to give it right away. They made a chesh, we'd be better off if we gave it later. So maybe it has to do with this Shiloh. So Nisatzel doesn't mean a bad mead of Nisatzel. It just means they weren't Mekayim, the Zerisa Makdim Lemitzis. That's all it means. It doesn't mean Nisatzel, they were lazy. But Nisatzel can mean they were slow on the pickup, so to speak. In halacha, that's called nisatzel, because halacha's reason, like demon, you're supposed to make it the quicker the better. Maybe. Idilma, we could say a third pshat. Chazal were telling us that the cheshbonus, the shayrish of it, was a touch of atzlus. You know, a lot of times we come up with 1,000 excuses, they sound good. But you know what the real thing is? We're lazy sometimes. There's a touch. Of course, the Nisim with Tzaddikim, and we mean that they were the greatest, and for us, maybe this wouldn't even be an Aveira. I understand all that. But Chazal say it was a tain on them. And Rashi uses the Lashon, Nisatzlu. So we could come and say that they made a cheshbon. But that itself, to show you why they made this cheshbon. Briskarov says it's a good cheshbon. You're right. Chazal are going into the Shoyrish. Where did this cheshbon root from? Rooted from what? A touch of not being Mila Hashem Eli, we're jumping ahead. And that was the tain of them. With this, I think we can explain why they took the letter Yud. I never understood. What's the Shav? I see him, they took out the letter Yud. Why Yud? So Pashat, I would have said, it doesn't mean Dafki Yud. The point was, they weren't complete. The Nesi'im are supposed to be the leaders. Psst. You're Nesi'im, which the truth is, maybe that's also part of it. You know what part of the Taina was? You're a leader, so what are you pushing everybody else to give? Like the Haiti, like today's politician. I say, you should pay the taxes, not negate to them. As long as the other guy pays the taxes. For them, it's a whole different story. L'havdol, l'elef havdolos. You're Nesi'im. Nesi'im is the Taich. You're supposed to be Nesi'im, chaser. It was missing in the Nesi'im, in the leadership, by you going and saying, let them come and give, and I'll give afterwards. Maybe. So then it wasn't the Yud anymore. Stop. They try to say that it's chaser, that it's missing. I see the Kleyakar learns that the Yud is Bedavka. The Kleyakar says Yud resembles Hashem's great name. Shmoy HaGadol. So we took out the Shmei Agol. Why, says the Kli Yakar? Kli Yakar feels that the Nesiim's chet, if we can call it that, the problem was Gaiva. You guys bring, and whatever's missing, we'll fill in. You know, reminds me, I can Gvir Lahavdil, you know. You know what they always say, we'll match it. So sometimes they mean well, they want you to collect, right? So you like this, they'll match it. And sometimes, you know what they're saying? Whatever you guys could do, you know, I could do in one check, you know. I'll match it, you know. It's Gaiva. It's a certain Gaiva. Yeah. Don't worry, we don't have any of these problems. We don't have money to have these problems, so we don't even know what it is. But for those that have money, understand that sometime, most Yidden are not like that. Most Yidden, when they say, we'll match, they mean to push the other guy to collect more. But sometimes it's like, come to me at the end, I'll match it. You know, I'll write you out one check. You know, what takes 100 guys to give, I can give it in one shot. Yeah? Says the Kli Yakar, it's Gaiva, and therefore you, the Shmoy Hashem, Hashem can't be with about Gaiva. Okay. So you see, it's the Yud. Huh? Okay. So I wanted to say maybe another Pshat. You know what the kind of the Nesiim was? I frank the brisker of good Cheshbainis. So we said a few Terutzim. It's good Cheshbainis, but who says you ought to make Cheshbainis with the Eivishter's mitzvahs? That's the brisker of. We said a second Teretz. You make a Cheshbainis, maybe because of Matzlis. You're so sure that the Cheshbain is Atzl. We made a third Nekuda. Maybe Lahalachi and Allah the Cheshbainis. Maybe Lahalachi, you have to do Zrizim Akdim and Lemitzis. Some Seifer. We said a fourth Teretz. That maybe you're a Nasi. A Nasi should not lead. Nesiim have to lead. But I want to say another Teretz, and that is, you see everybody giving, and they're giving with a heart. They're putting their whole heart and feeling into it. How do you stand by and watch it and say, I'll get back to you? Come to me later. You know, Chazal tell us in the previous pasuk by the Nesiim Hiviyu, it says, "Vayavoyu ha'anoshim al hanoshim." The men came on the women. What, the women carried them on the backs? What does it mean, al? The men came, al. So Rashi says, al doesn't mean al, it means im. They came together with. But it's still shver. What do you need to ask? I should just say them. They came. What do you, came with them? Husbands, it's mashma, even with means with together, like it's like al on top of them. You don't have to say anything, just say the men came. They both came. What does it mean, im, and to the point, al is mashma, mamish on top of? So the Sipurna says that the men had to be on top of their wives, because you don't get take tzedakah from women. The halacha is that if you take from women, the husband could come and say, that's not her money. You know what I mean? What's she need tzedakah for? It's my money. So the husband has to be there. That's Pshat Al, says the Sipurna. That the husband had to be Al on top of the wife. Give. Otherwise, you're not allowed to give. The Ramban says a different Pshat, and I want to fataych the Ramban. Ramban says the women gave right away because they had the jewelry on them. The men, don't forget, didn't have any jewelry anymore. You know why? They already spent their jewelry by the eagle. So what did they bring? They had to go home. They had to go home. They went home to get their stuff in the house. So they came al anoshim because the women came first. And the men quickly went home. And this is what I explained, what I understood in the Ramban. They didn't wait and say, you know what, in 2-3 weeks you get a check in the mail. Okay, they ran home and they came al anoshim. The women who gave right away, the men came right away then and gave on top of the women. Which means the pasuk is trying to bring out that they both gave right away. According to the Ramban, the pshat is the women gave right off. They took right off their jewelry. And the men didn't wait. What did the men do? They came al anoshim. They quickly ran home, got everything and brought it. That was the outpour of nedava, of donation. It was an outpour. Goodwill for the mitzvah. Goodwill for the mitzvah of the Davar Mishkan. Yeah? The Davar Mishkan. There was goodwill. You know, they say over, when it comes to pledges, you think it's easy to get a pledge out of somebody. Even if he says, I'll give it, till he should, there's Baal Ta'acha, there's three Yom Tovim, till he pays up is almost forever. They say that a guy once robbed a shul. He walked away with $500 in cash and $20,000 in pledges. Very few people play. The chiddush of the Mishkan was they all paid up right away. I once said pshat, you know, by Mishkan, the Gemara says in the Shavuos Daf Chav Vav on the base, call the Div Lev, that if I promise in my heart, I have to give it already. I don't have to speak it out. Normally, you know, I have to speak out, right? For the Mishkan, if I was Menad the Belev, it's good enough. Lamaisa in Hilchot Staka, we compared Staka to Kaidish. For example, Yadlet Staka. What does Yadlet Staka mean? If I see somebody giving and I say, me too, I'm chayiv to give. Why? Because the Gemara declares that by Kachin, by the Mishkan it was like that. By Mishkan there's Yad Lekachim, Lekarbonis. If I want to be Menad, if I say me too, I say Yad, the Lashon, which is a handle. I didn't speak out the whole thing, it works. And since Stuck is like Kaidish, so the Gemara says, take, I don't know what the Halach is, and we pass it in Reish Nun Ches or Shulchan Aruch, that it's Taka Misafik Aser that you have to give it the Stuck. That if I didn't speak out clearly, but I only did a Yad with Stuck, but when it comes to the Nedav Belev, there we don't see that just like in the Mishkan, if I gave Belev, if I promised, I have to give. There by Tztaku, it's Mashmi, you have to speak it out. Why for Yad? Do we say Yadle Tztaku? Because it's Doimit to the Kachim, to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash. And why by Tztaku? When you're Menad the Belev, it doesn't work. We should say it's just like the Mishkan, Kol Nidiv Liboy, like the Gemara Shavuos, Daf Chavav. Famous question. So I said two terutz. One terutz is, because in the Mishkan we didn't need really the money. We needed the lev. Call the div lev. So how do we know how much lev? You gave it through money. But the ikka was the lev. Shechanti b'say chom is in the lev. By an ani, he has nothing from your lev. He needs the money. Call the div levi is not going to help you by tzedakah. As much, imagine you give him 20 pints of goodwill. I mean, Halach, he's supposed to do that anyway. Gadlah, you know, it's bigger that you give him a good smile than a penny. Yeah, but if he needs money, give him a good smile, I'm going to help him. I told you over from Baridik and Maisel, I said you say over from Rabbi Avram Kamenovitz, Chayin Levrach, Amira, Rosh Hashiva in America, when he came after the war, he collected money for the yeshiva to build it up. He was a tremendous pikeach, a wise person on how to make money for the yeshiva. So when he came to a person's house, and he tells the guy, you know, last year you gave me so-and-so, I'd like you to, you know, double it or accept more this year. So the guy says, Rebbe, not only I can't give you more, I can't even give you what I gave last year. Because I don't have the money anymore. It's economy, this, that. So Rabbi Avram Kamosh faints. And he lays on the floor. Oh. So the wife goes, I'm sorry, so the husband starts screaming to the kitchen, Sprinzer. Obviously it's a true story, because when you make up a story, you're not going to make up the wife's name, a Sprinzer. So he goes, Sprinzer! Quick, water, water! The Rosh Hashiva fell on the floor, he fainted! So from the floor, Avram screams, not water, money, money! I don't need the water! What do I have with the water? I don't need water, I need money. The point being, in the divlay, for the Mishkan, the divlay was very good. You know, in your heart, you wanted to give, say it's perfect. But for the ani, maybe it's not good. But that's a drush teretz. I want to tell you how lachadik a teretz. What's the reason why belay it's never good? Because dvarim shebelay v'enim dvarim. It's not clear that there's a gemiras das, that it's 100% that you want to give. Dvarim shebelev eim dvarim, in the heart, when you speak it out, neder, chalois, all the yeshiva shetayr about a neder, it's something that takes effect, there's a chalois neder. So it's serious. Hashem came in the heart. All right. The Mishkan, there was such an outpour of the Divas Halef. It was so clear that everybody wanted that even Belev, there was a Gemira's Das already. You saw already in Eden, every Jew with the Kal Nediv Libay, it says, Kal Hashem Nesai Ruchai, Kal Hashem Nadva Libay. There was so much an outpour of heart. There wasn't even a question. Everybody meant it. So therefore, by Mishkan, Mashen came by Tzedakah, that you have to speak out already, you know, to show that you mean to taka give. Just because a guy's inspired, a guy he made a good appeal and he said a nice story, so you get inspired. You leave the Beis Medrash. If you didn't speak it out, there's no Gemira's Das. Oh. So the Pshat is Nesiim. You saw all this. Nesiim, you saw all this. You didn't see the unbelievable outpour of Klal Yisrael that they were jumping to do and to help and to be part of this big thing of building a Mishkan for the Eibishter. So how cold could you be, so to speak? Lahavdil, cold. By making a cheshbin. You know what? You guys, I'll give later. Later? You know, I once saw the tape of Amnon Yitzchak. Where he cuts off the kuchkalach. What do you call them? Those, the cuckoos. The cuckoos in the back. The chups. The ponytails. And he takes the guy and he cuts the ponytail. And he says, Shema Yisroel with him. And he's... And you see how every guy in the room, I want to be part of it. They get inspired. Who wants to sit back and say, you know what, I'll get back to you? You're inspired. You're moved by it. And you jump into it. Nesoy Liboy. The Mishnah was Kolash and Nesoy Liboy. Nesim, you sit there, I'll get back to you. I'll see what's missing. You know what's missing? The little Yud, the Yid inside you. That's why they took out the little Yud. A Yud. Nesiim, you're right. You're big people. But where's the Yidin? Where's that little Pintel Yid, as they call it? How does a Pintel Yid sit there and watch the way people are giving for the Mishkan and you just sit there with Cheshbeinus, you hear? With this, I want to explain a Meridika Targum. The Targum says that actually, how did the Avni Shayim come? You know how the Avni Shayim came?
Mishamayim.
The Targum says that it came that when Hashamayim, the Anonim, the word Nesim could also mean clouds. So the clouds brought the Avni Shayim. So there's a question that it's not this Chazal, right? One Chazal's mashma, the Nesim brought it at the end. And there's another Chazal, which means the clouds brought it. So it has nothing to do with the Nesim. So some want to say it's two different Chazal. The Achreinim discuss a Marshal like this, that maybe it's two different Chazal. And one Chazal is that the Nesim brought it, and the other Chazal is that the clouds brought it. But if you look at the Midrashim, I don't have the Midrashim in front of me now, that the clouds brought it to the Nesim in front of their tent. There's different Chazal, which means they brought it to the Nesim. So I had a question. If they brought it to the Nesim, so why was it a tain on them? I don't understand. Maybe that's when they brought it to them. Maybe the Nesim brought it at the end. The clouds brought it, the last thing. Unless you say they brought it early and they kept this. Why would they do that? If they knew that they came from Shemayim, which means that that was the present that they were supposed to give L'chaira, right, they weren't getting a gift for no reason. So why Taka did they hold it up to the end? Something is not clear here. You know what the Terence Rabbi said is? You see from here that the Siyata Dishmaya that a person has, that the Nesim, the clouds bring you, is according to your ruts and the way you want. If you wanted to be the first one online, the Nesim would have brought it right away in the beginning. The clouds would have been there to help you in the first place. Depending on your ruts, depending on your zrizus, that's how your Nesim cloud, Siyata Dishmaya, the Rabbeinu Shalom, is going to be there to help you. That's what we learn from the Mishkan. Kashitziv Hashem es Moshe Kenos. That's the way it was done. And to the level of how much they did Kashitziv Hashem, that's how it came out. If the Kashitziv Hashem es Moshe was with every inch and fiber of my heart, if every every regesh. So the kain also, Hashem was mashlamit that it should taka be perfect in the asiyah. You know, Rabbi, so I want to tell you over. You know, the women, they did a tremendous thing. They would taiva the izim from the izim themselves, which means they made the wool, the pasuk before. V'chal chachma slave, they were chachamim, right? Ashenad v'ruch ma'isana, tavu as the izim. Zok Rashi, what does tavu as the izim mean? That they did a special thing. They made the wool from the animal. You want to know something, Rabbi? See, there's a Gemara about this in Shabbos. That if we would do this on Shabbos, we'd be potter. It's called kalachayad. You can't do this. This is not a malachas. It's felt a malachas mashavis. Normal people cut the wool and then they make the strings
right off the
thing. So the question is, how could they do say that the women did it? And then we learn in Masechta Shabbos, you potter for it. Famous question. It's a particular problem. So there's many terutzim that have said. One teretz that it said is, yeah, when we would do it, it's not. But the women were chacham, they had a special, it says over there, there was a special wisdom that they had. For us to do it, it's kalachayad. But for those women to do it, who says kalachayad?
Right.
One teretz. There's another teretz, Rabbi Isai. Why did they do this first? You know why they did this? Who knows why they did this? Okay. So the Meshech Chachma learns they were nidach. So it had to be mechubal karka. And since it's mechubal karka, you don't have a problem because it's attached to the animal. The animal is considered like karka, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. Some soif as a mahalach, women are potter from binyan amikdash. Rambam paskins hakel chayom that everybody's chayif. But ma'isa many hold that they're potter from binyan amishkan. So how could they do it? Teretz is because you're allowed to. You're allowed to be bain even if you're not mechuyif. But there's a shita of Reb Chaim Kohen in Git Daf Memhei. There's something that you're not mechuyif for, meaning a woman who's not mechuyif in the midst is not allowed to do it. It's not a kim if she does it. So how are they able to make for the Mishkan? Teretz is they did it on top of the animals. Then the husbands came and they cut it. And that was the kim. That's how they the husbands made it. Huh?
Mak v'patish,
yes, and a chanami. So for Shabbos, it's not a problem. Okay. What do I want with this? What do I want? Mitzvah Hashem, one day I'll give you a whole shtickle shir on this in halacha. What do I want? So there's a word for Michael Feinstein. Michael Feinstein says that Meleches Machsheves was not a din in the Mishkan itself. Meleches Machsheves, after we built the Mishkan, from that we say that any malacha that was Meleches Machsheves is Asur on Shabbos. But actually, the Binyan on Mishkan didn't have everything Meleches Machsheves. That's what he wants to say. And he says, I'll prove it. Did they have purple wool? And where did they get all this? And Teretz says, they bought it from Huna. So how do you know that's Meleches Machsheves? How do you know what they made it like? Teretz says, there was no din of Meleches Machsheves in the Binyan on Mishkan. I don't want to go into the actual, because it's a lamed shavart that you have to learn Masechta Shabbos for. But I'll tell you what I understood in Drush. You know what I understood? The Ramban says clearly, they were not craftsmen. They didn't know how to make a Mishkan. Ramban says, they worked with mud. They worked with clay. They were not, imagine if I would go now and have to build something. So everybody says, yeah, but Bitzal, if you give me 10 Bitzals, I wouldn't know what I'm doing. Trust me, Bitzal could tell me from today till tomorrow how to build a table. I wouldn't know how to do it. All right? So the question is, how did it happen? And you know what the Teretz is? The word Machsheves means something else in the Mishkan. You know, it says clearly, Kol Asher Nesoi Libay, Not Varuchai. What is Nesoi Libay? So Ramban says, Nesoi Libay, they were inspired to do it even though they didn't know how to do it. They had no idea what they were doing. So Vadit's not Meleches Machsheves. They anyway didn't know what they were doing. Everything was Kalachiyad. The idea of the Mishkan was to build when you can't build. You don't know what you're doing. But I do it because Hashem said to do it. I'll be there to do it for you. And that's why Yotem Moshe's HaMishkan. Moshe couldn't even put up the Mishkan. So how was Moshe supposed to put up a Mishkan? Was Moshe a contractor? You explain to me how Moshe was supposed to put up a Mishkan?
What do you expect from Moshe Rabbeinu already? Take Rabbi Yashiv and tell him, come here. You think you could put up that tent for me? How is he supposed to put it up? What does he know about a tent? And the Torah says, you make with your hands like the Chazal, and I'll do it for you. In the Mishkan, it was, do Kasha Tziva Hashem. You do what I told you to do. Make with your hands. And I'll beat it to be mashlim. That's shot. There was no Melechus Machshevus anyway in the Mishkan. When it's by the Noshim, what Lashon does it use? Well, does it say that they did Chachmo, or does it say Nesoy Liboy? Read it again. Read. No, it says Nesoy Liboy.
Liba,
what is that? Just say they were Chachamim. You said they were very wise. And you know what the Terence is? When someone is very smart, you know what he wants to do? He likes to do, show that he knows. He likes to show that he knows, yeah. They didn't do it for that reason. You know what they did? Nasai Libay. They were inspired to do it. Bechachma. We think that they had Chachma to begin with. First of all, tell me something. These Chachma women, what were they doing in Mitzrayim? They were doing men's work. Ishtet HaKlar, Mitzrayim, they were doing men's work. They were with hard hats. They were sitting with hard hats and coal miners. They were building peace in the Ramsey. So how did they learn this? And the Teretz is, Nasai Libay, they were inspired to want to do it. That's Kashativa. Hashem is Moshe. Yeah. Then the Rebbe Yishon gives them a special Siyata Deshmaya. Yeah. That you should be able to do it. This Rabbi Sai is the lesson of the Mishkan. The lesson of the Mishkan is, the Rabbi Nishlam, you run the world. You do everything. What do? I do what you want me to do. That's called my doing. What you want me to do is called I do. That's what I do. And not more, not less. And that's it. And then there'll be Bracha Shairim. That you can make this beautiful Mishkan, which doesn't even make sense. The measurements don't fit, doesn't work, it's Einam and Amida, it can't stand, it's going to stand. You know, the Mishkan Sha'asa Moshe, yeah, is not bottle. So that's from the support I told you, L'chatchil. Why was it not bottle? Because Moshe was Mevatel himself completely, says the support today, Mishkan. So it's like the Eibishter made it.
Everything?
And since it was like the Eibishter who made it, that was the Sipurna I was telling you. So just like anything the Eibishter makes is Kaim La'ad L'netzach L'ol Me'elomim. Beis HaMikdash already was handmade. Bayah Shloima made it. That could be destroyed. But the Mishkan wasn't Moshe. The Mishkan was who? Rabbeinu Shleilo. And since it's the Rebbeinu Shleilah, it can. And Hashem lo yivne bayis. Shav amu bayna bay. Rabbi, say have a good time.
Rabbi.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.